talk about how to become people of resolve. Those that are so resolved that we are known for our faithfulness. And we like to talk about how we're made in the image of God and we're called to display Him to the world. And God is obviously faithful, and He is a God of resolve. And what He resolves to do, He absolutely does. What He promises, He fulfills. And so we want to talk about how to grow in our ability to stick to something, our personal resolve as sons and daughters of God. So Johnny's going to give us just a very short kind of devotional on this today.
Well, yeah, you know, I think what we learned even our 14, 15 years of pastoring senior pastors is, and not to simplify it excessively, the kind of people that were in the church, but at some point, you almost can separate them into two categories. One is the people of resolve, and the one is the people of excuses. And the people of resolve are the people that do, you see them on track with their call, their destiny. There's the struggles, there's the trials, there's the things that they have to overcome, but they're staying on course. You know, the banner we had up in church, your destiny is an obstacle course designed by God to maximize your capacity to love. The people of resolve, they don't get freaked out by the obstacle. They go, okay, this is part of it. We get over it. These things are going to interrupt. People of excuses, they will come upon the obstacle. The hurdle will be there, and that will be the reason they can't go on. Well, I was going to, but I had an obstacle. I had a hurdle. And so there's a setting aside. And so really, this little the segment that we're going to do here is really just calling you up to kingdom resolve. That really it becomes the key element. All kinds of things that we want to happen to us, I think so many people would like to have, you know, their destiny imparted to them, but it really requires kingdom resolve. And I did a looking up the word resolve, and I liked some of the definitions for it. It says make a firm decision about, to find a solution to bring to a successful conclusion, to be doubly convinced, firmness of purpose, freedom from wavering. And so, you know, just if you want to take impartation from something from this podcast, is as I'm speaking those words, let that be what's drawn out of your heart and spirit. You want to have determination that goes beyond excuses. And I really do believe that 90% of your achieving of your destiny is tied into your resolve. And you know, perhaps 10% has to do with the advantages you were born into, or the lack of advantages that you were born into, the handicaps that you were born into. I think that makes about 10% of a difference, and then 90% is what you determine. Besides that, you know, we've seen the stories of the people with. I can't remember his name right now. Nick, whatever it is, mm-hmm. He has no
arms and no legs.
No arms and legs, and he did not allow that to dictate whether he had a future or destiny or not. He was somebody with huge obstacles in front of him, and he decided he could overcome. And yet, we've seen people again as pastors. We've seen people with very slight negative things in their life decide that was a game changer for them. Something that. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't get a job, and so they're going to quit on life and quit on God because they thought He said He was going to give them one, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's all over. And so just be aware that, you know, it can come down to as simple as becoming a person of kingdom resolve or being one that makes the excuses. And we must, you know, we must resolve as sons and daughters to live out of our identity, out of our responsibility, out of our privilege, and to make no excuses. And, you know, we could go into the whole life, the difference between Saul and David, and we see even the way they dealt with Amalek. Amalek represents the flesh, and really what ultimately disqualified King Saul was when he was sent to slaughter the Amalekites, he said, well, you know, I decided to save the best. The people wanted this. There was a sheep. We can use them for sacrifice. And there was excuses. And ultimately, it was that which kept him from his call and destiny. And, you know, Samuel had to tell him, hey, the Lord gave you a clear command. He gave you clear instruction. And later on in life, we see that an Amalekite comes to David and tells him, really, he brags that he's the one that killed Saul. And so David has him dealt with ruthlessly. And so there's just something there that a Saul character will make excuses for why he doesn't deal with Amalek, which should be things of the flesh. And a David will say, you know what, this is going to be something that will keep me from my destiny, so I'm going to deal with it ruthlessly. So here's a definition for, or some definitions for the word excuse: an explanation offered to justify or obtain forgiveness, a reason or grounds for excusing, a note for explaining absence, why you didn't show up. An excuse is an inferior example, a poor excuse for. When all is said and done, I think for your life, for my life, for our lives, what we accomplish will be determined by what we made excuses over or what we had resolve over. And so, salvation is free. What he did on the cross is free. It's for all of us. We make the prayer and we believe it. We're born again, born to the kingdom. We have a future secured. But then there are the matters of rewards. You know, Jesus spoke many times about the rewards that were available for us if we would press in, if we would have some resolve, if we would overcome things, if we wouldn't be knocked off course, and if we wouldn't settle for cheap excuses. But understand that he had empowered us for more. So, you know, that's my challenge to you, to us. It's a reminder for us, even as we speak it to you, to make sure we're making no place in our life for excuses and for discernment. Let the Holy Spirit just put his finger on any area of our life. Like if you're the listener right now, just allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on any area. Invite him in, say, Holy Spirit, if I'm not advancing in an area because I'm simply making an excuse, then please put your finger on that and let me see that. And ultimately, you know, making excuses are reasons why we don't forgive. And it's why so many Christians, we find that, which is surprising number percentage of Christians, harbor unforgiveness and bitterness. And it's an excuse, is because there is a specific nature of the treason or betrayal that put it into some other category other than just the simple, clear gospel is forgive, judge no man, and, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And it's amazing that excuse-mindedness will lead us even into a path of holding grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness. And so if you see that that's a difficulty in your life, just be aware that the setup for it might have been the bridge that leads you to having those struggles might be where you begin being a person that just allowed yourself to settle for excuses. And it's not to put yourself under any major trip of performance, but you sure don't want to miss out on kingdom destiny because you could not connect to the kingdom resolve that's available for all the sons and daughters of the King.
So true. I can think of even in recent times where you and I have gotten low on resolve. Fortunately, it doesn't usually happen at the same time.
You're right. That's so
good. And so the other one can encourage the other one. And, you know, so often you do such a good job, Johnny, of representing God's heart towards me, because I'll just dump on you and I'll just make all the excuses and just share from the bottom of my heart, you know, how tired, exhausted, weary, angry, frustrated, whatever the emotion of the day is. And you just never make me feel, like a horrible person. You just listen and you just, that makes sense. I feel that way sometimes too. Because you always know if I can just get it out and just be honest about it, I'm not going to stay there. Mm-hmm. And that's God's heart towards us. You know, we're not talking about, we all have a need to have the feelings and the things that we're struggling with, to have them validated, not to stay stuck, but so that we can move forward. And my experience is that as I go to the Lord, or I go to you and you're, you know, a representation of his heart towards me in that moment, I hear compassion from him, and I hear his heart saying, I get it. It is hard, but you can continue. You can rise above this. You can move forward. Just cry a minute, let it out, and then let's go again. And that's how he is. He's so patient, but his compassion should never be confused with an apathy.
Right.
He's not apathetic. He's compassionate, but he will not, if we're at all turned in his direction, he refuses. Talk about resolve. He has resolved to keep us moving forward, growing up constantly into the image of Christ.
Well, you know, and about that, Elizabeth, of course, I tell you how amazed I am at your resolve, that you're a person of resolve, because you'll hit a blip there, a little bump in the road, and be discouraged for a moment. But then
you're being very gracious.
No, it's
I true. Recently quit.
I just
quit. I said, I'm done. Whatever that means.
Yeah. Whatever. Once every 6 to 8 weeks, she may quit. But she's usually back within 2 hours. And she has amazing resolve at that
Not that like point. Quit our marriage or anything that, but just like this feeling of like, God, yeah. I just want to stay right here. I'm tired. I don't want to
press on.
Work for the next thing.
She doesn't
can
even know
what it
means.
Can we just be comfortable for a minute, you know?
She's not even sure what it means when she quits, but it's just the feeling there. And generally, my part and my role, and so this is to help you, is I'll identify the positive things that are taking place
right.
to encourage us, and then remind what he has been speaking. And so then we have to choose. Part of resolve, staying in resolve, is choosing to believe what God has been saying.
Yeah.
What he's clearly communicated prophetically over and over, or spoken to us individually. That's what I'll generally tell Elizabeth over and over. I'll say, this is what he spoke. This is what he did. This is what he's been doing. This is what you agreed, what I agreed. This is what he said. And so then she shortly comes out of there. And that's just, but that can help you. Her transparency here can help and perhaps many of you to realize that that is how you become a person of kingdom resolve, is you begin to identify what God has been doing, the proofs that are around that, and then get reconnected to what he's been saying over you, about you, and therefore why you're not going to allow whatever the last bump in the road that takes place. Because with Elizabeth, there'll be something that happened. There'll be something discouraging that happened, something that didn't go according to plan. And that's just life. There's things that don't go according to plan. And so we do have the choice at that point, whether we're going to
kind of roll over and quit,
yeah.
You know? So. And it's just not an option. And that's what resolve looks like, is you say, okay, I acknowledge this feeling that's here. But I acknowledge that it's not an option to stay here and to move forward with him and the bigger picture of what he's doing. And I appreciate so much how Jesus was transparent, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. Even Jesus, being the Son of God, had to submit his will to the Father. And the will is a really powerful thing. I mean, you might have to do it through gritted teeth, but that's what resolve looks like, is saying, you know what, it's not up to me. And if let's do this your way. And if your way is the harder way, then so be it.
Yeah, Jesus said, you know, maybe this is our last scripture or comment on it in general. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Nobody puts this particular promise on the refrigerator magnet. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's saying, listen, I know it's tough and there's tough stuff. I go through it myself. And then other scriptures, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Things designed to awaken the resolve. So we just want to challenge you in the name of the Lord to connect to kingdom resolve.
Amen.
And that this is a time of amazing destiny available for the sons and daughters of the King. Amazing age, the era of Renaissance, the age of the restoration of all things, the kingdom age exploding on the face of the earth. And it's going to be sons and daughters of resolve that begin to find these wide open spaces in the spirit for seeing kingdom manifestation. So
Amen.
We just wish that and desire that for all of you. And And we just bless you in the name of the Lord to be able to connect to that.
And remember that in your weakness, he is strong. This is a God who is not, he doesn't turn away from weakness. He's drawn to weakness. He loves to find places where we're weak, where he can show himself strong and come rushing in with all the love and the power and the faithfulness that we're lacking. And so it just means we have to expose those areas of weakness to him. And he gives us the resolve that's needed. So bless you as reformers who are resolved to follow hard after him. If you're interested in more resources that will equip you for your kingdom assignment to reform the areas of culture that you're passionate about, you can check out our website and online bookstore at johnnyandelizabeth.com. While we're happy to make these podcasts available to you for free, donations help make that possible. You can donate on our website, where you'll also find information about our ongoing RISE courses and events. Be sure to subscribe through iTunes to receive our latest podcasts. May God continue to display his goodness through you in all that you do today and every day.